He sends out his undefeated two-year-old, Bolt Doro, who has been extremely impressive in those two starts, winning the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity last time out. Mick, welcome to the program.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, happy to have you on board and looking forward to seeing Bolt Doro do his thing. Hey, a perfect two for two. Did you kind of have a sense early on that he could be this good?
Well, we knew it was something special when they broke him, and the guy's been breaking horses for the last 20 years said he'd never been on something that ran so smooth, you know. So then we get him to the training track, and the Gallup boys there that have worked with me for a long time said, boss, he shifts gears like no other horse. So we were hoping he would be okay. And so far.
After a $630,000 investment in Saratoga, you might have known a little something about him before you even sent him to break.
Yeah, well, Ike Green picked him out for us. He runs our ranch in Montana and breaks all the babies. And he said he wanted to go $500,000. I said, okay. Then you know how that goes. When you really want something, you dig a little deeper.
Well, he's got the great pedigree. I mean, you can't ask for more than that. He's got a pedigree that can take him to the classics. It's really nice to see you get a horse like that because, you know, you're out on your own, so to speak. You're calling your own shots. I think it's really cool. I've become a fan.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a little tougher because it's all our money, but at the end of the day, you know, we look at ourselves and whatever we say, we know is the right thing to do.
Yeah, Mick, let's talk about that for a minute because you were involved as an owner and then decided earlier this year to take out your trainer's license, move the horses into your name, and start training them yourself. But talk about that decision, how it all came about.
Well, actually, I had been training for 15 years ago full-time. I had my own stable,
yep,
but I didn't have the money like, you know, that we have to play at this level. So when I went back to start training, they were told me I had to go get my trainer's license again. And me being kind of stubborn, as you can see, because I do things my way, I said, I have to go get my trainer's license again at over 100 and some races, you know, at one. And they said, yeah, you have to. So I was just being bullheaded, didn't want to go get it. So then, you know, I asked a couple people, they come in the barn and, you know, and you know, train with us. And then finally the steward said, you know what, you need to get in here and you need to get your license because you're training every day, put your name in on the program. So that's how that happened.
So you kind of broke the stewards and made them see it your way.
Well, you know, you don't want to say that. You know, you don't want to piss those guys off.
Always a bad idea. Yeah.
Yes, you know, I could have been good just being behind the scene because I'm not a fancy kind of a guy, you know, and I could have spread out my stable a little more to some other people, the ones that I, you know, the lesser ones that I didn't really want to have to spend the time with in the barn. But now that we own Ruiz Racing's LLC, I have to train everything or put them like, you know, someone else to own part of them. And we like to keep the ones that we have.
Well, and you should. How many do you have now, Mick?
Well, we got about 35 in training, and then we got 20 yearlings we're breaking right now. We got 14 at the Keeneland sale last week, and we had another six of them that were on our ranch in Montana. We got a really nice candy ride out of a Stormcat mare that, boy, he's as good as anything we bought, and we bought some pretty expensive ones at Keeneland.
Does he have a name?
Not yet. You know, we're kind of just waiting on that because I have a kid that since he was, I don't know, about 13, and I've been going to Del Mar. That's my hometown, and he has Down syndrome, just the sweetest kid, and I've seen him every year, and every time I'm there, I go take him to buy some popcorn. So I was thinking about popcorn for Eddie.
That would be great.
Man. Yeah.
And what a great tribute to that young man, too. That would be tremendous. How about Bolt Doro? How did he get his name?
Well, we were picking names, and we were during the Olympics, and we said, you know, man, that dude is fast, Usain Bolt. So I said, how about Bolt Doro? And then Aiden and Ike said, that sounds cool, so that's how we came up with that name.
That's great. Does he know the horse is named after him?
No, he doesn't. You know, we just kind of, you know, just named it because we saw him. But no, he doesn't know that. He probably did. He might Might want to come watch him run, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, Tom Hammond talks about him all the time. He's one of Tom Hammond's favorite people. And we know Tom. If I see Tom, I'm going to mention it to him. Maybe he can get the word to him that this horse is named after, because it's certainly a fine horse to have named after yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Mick, what gives you the confidence that this is a horse that will handle the longer distances outside of that tremendous pedigree?
You know, from day one, this is the type of races we're looking for. You know, we didn't have a sprinter, even though the first time he went 3/8, I think he went in 34 in hand, and I was like, holy, this horse ain't supposed to do this, you know? So then we had to back off the whole time after that. And we knew he has natural speed. We knew he has good speed. He worked out at Del Mar, went 58 in hand, and he was the best out of 92. But I just didn't want Bolt to think that he was a sprinter. So, you know, then I started putting him behind horses, you know, trying to train him slower, because every time he gallops out, he gallops out like he's going to go a route of ground. But, you know, like the rest of us, we don't know until we do it.
Yeah, you don't know till you do it. We'll find out if he can do it Saturday afternoon. Bolt Duro going 1/16 in the Front Runner Stakes and figures to be, if not the favorite, among the favorites in that race. Last time out, he defeated Zatter, the Bob Baffert trainee, so he'll get a rematch with him in this spot. What's it like to finish in front of a Bob Baffert two-year-old, Mick?
Well, it's kind of cool because we did it last year with Union Strike and the debutante, and we got him this year in the Futurity, so not too many people get to do that because Bob's pretty loaded, so it's pretty special to be able to beat him whenever you can.
I read he may be going to the Champagne, so you may not have to run against him. You'll just have to run against Solomini, his other horse in there. That'd be good news, huh?
Yeah, that is. I mean, but you know, eventually you got to race against them. When my boys were all wrestlers and, you know, national wrestlers, and I would take them to the toughest tournaments. I would take them to the camps that had Olympic medalists that would you know, train the kids. And if you're going to be good, you got to go against the best. So, you know, if he runs here, it's okay, because eventually you got to get there if you're that good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you do. You do. Mick, this race, obviously, at Santa Anita, the Breeders' Cup contested just south of Santa Anita in San Diego at Del Mar. What's the major difference between the Santa Anita main track and the main track at Del Mar?
Well, I think I'm 2 for 2 at Del Mar. That's the difference, and I haven't ran here, but I think it's the same. It, you know, he's training the same. You know, he looks like he likes this track just as much as he liked the Del Mar track. A lot of people didn't like that track this summer, but boy, he trained really good over it. He's such a big, strong horse. You know, so when the people said the old horses were getting tired, you know, I think he was fit, and he just, you know, he has a lot of muscle, so he went across Del Mar really good, but he's training really, really good here at Santa Anita.
Yeah, good horses will run on anything. Mick Ruiz with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mick, like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, so we'll get that out to you. Before we let you go, what is it about this game and this sport that makes you embrace the race?
You know, I think what I like, I'm very competitive. Always have been, you know, with my children and anything I do, you know, because we're kind of like the underdogs. You know, I didn't graduate from school and just got to work really hard. But really, for the next, I would say, 10 years, what I'm really going to enjoy is for everybody in the big owners out there to know that, you know, there's a lot of trainers on this backside that can train a horse that's really good. You don't need to give them to 3 or 4 trainers, and they have 150 in their stalls. So I'm kind of hoping that they could say, look, some hard work and honesty, you know, you don't have to be number 6 in one guy's stall, and you could be number 1 in another guy's stall, and he can really take care of your horse. So that's what I'm really hoping for, you know, that I can show them that, look, other people can win Grade 1s. Other people can do this. So that's what I'm really looking forward to in the next, you know, 5-10 years of my training.
Yeah, well, Mick, good luck here on Saturday afternoon. Bolt Duro going in the Front Runner. Go get it done, and we'll talk to you here soon.
All right, thank you very much.